This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
So I did something really morbid this week, totally changing track. I did something really, really morbid this week. Given that I'm no longer a young dad, and in fact, this is my first ever Father's Day now as a father-in-law. So big shout out to my lovely daughter-in-law, my favorite daughter-in-law, Sienna. She is absolutely amazing and awesome. And that also brings me great delight because I go, man, I've got an epic daughter-in-law. She's amazing. So it's my first Father's Day as a father-in-law. And given kind of, you know, I'm starting to get on a little bit, I decided this week to look up a particular website. It's called Death Clock. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? But basically what you do with Death Clock is you type in your date of birth, a few statistics. I know, it's terrible, right? I've got people going, what are you doing off camera? And you type in, you know, are you a smoker? You know, how much alcohol do you drink? And, you know, what's your stress levels like? You type in all this stuff. And so I have the pleasure of saying to you this morning that if you got some time in your diary, a little bit after April 12, 2045, there might be a little funeral happening around here for me, so you can come on along. So I know that some of you right now, you are opening up another tab in your web browser, and you are trying to look up your proposed date of departure as well. Now, for some of you this morning, I'm going to encourage you not to do that, because your date was probably about 6 months ago, all right? And if you do that, serves you right for looking up other web browsers during church. But the reason that I got onto that particular website, as morbid as it sounds, and it does, as morbid as it sounds this morning, I did it in preparation for today because we're continuing this mini-series called Nurturing a Generous Spirit. And last week, you might recall that we explored nurturing a generous spirit when it comes to your resources. And we were taken to class, taken to school by a most unlikely character, weren't we? In the book of Mark, in chapter 12, there we were exploring the story of this widow who comes to the temple treasury with these two copper coins, and she places it in there. You remember what Jesus says? He says, she has given more than everyone else because she gave out of her poverty. They gave out of all their wealth. But she has a generous spirit, and we consider generosity of spirit with our resources. Well, this morning what I want to do is to pivot into a different area of generosity, and that is generosity with our time. Generosity with our time. And to do that, I want to go into one of the most amazing chapters of the Bible, I believe, one that's spoken to me very deeply over many years, and I'll talk about that with you this morning. It's Psalm 90, and if you have a Bible handy now, I want to encourage you to turn with me to Psalm 90. Now, it's the only psalm in the whole 150 psalms that we know for certain Moses wrote. Now, there's some theologians, they say, oh, he could have written a few others as well, but we know for sure that Psalm 90 is a psalm that Moses wrote. Moses is arguably the greatest leader in the Old Testament. He's a person who is described as a friend of God, and he's a person who, it seems, invested his life well. Not perfectly, none of us do. He made some mistakes along the way, but he seems to have invested his life well. And so I want to unpack with you some verses. I'm going to read Psalm 90, verses 1 through 6. Then we're going to jump to verses 10 and 12, okay? Psalm 90, verses 1 to 6, then verses 10 and 12. It says this. This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. It says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, you brought forth the whole world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight is like a day that has gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass in the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it's dry and withered. I can relate to that. All right, verse 10. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Now down to verse 12, and for me, this is the pivotal verse in this psalm. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let me read that again. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I was talking to our youngest, Nathaniel, who's 16. I was talking to him on Friday. He and I were heading off to, I was going to drive him to school on my way to work. And he said to me, Dad, have you noticed how quickly these weeks are going? It just seems like yesterday that I was playing soccer, and I know I'm playing again tomorrow. And it just seems like these weeks are going quick, really fast. And what I didn't have the heart to tell him was that as you get older, it seems as though the weeks, the months, the years speed up. You ever noticed that before? That as the years just seem to be flying by at the moment. It's crazy. Which is why Moses' words here, particularly in verse 12, have been so foundational to me ever since I read them and reflected on them, probably at the same age Nathaniel is now. I remember at the age of about 16, I got into that habit, the practice of reading a bit of the scripture each day. And this verse here in Psalm 90 verse 12 has become a foundational verse for my life. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, God, give me a perspective of the brevity of life so that I can invest this one and only life that you give me, I can invest it well. I can invest it strategically. God, would you help me to invest my time and to be generous with my time in areas that you want me to be generous in, areas of importance, areas that matter. Help me to invest my time well so that I may gain a heart of wisdom. I want to be a wise person. I don't want to get to the end of my life and look back and say, well, that's a bit of a waste, really. I had one shot and I frittered it away on stuff that doesn't really last. I want to invest my life well. And I imagine this morning that you do as well. That you want your life to count for something. That you want to be able to look back on life and go, you know what? I wasn't perfect and that's okay. But you know what? I feel as though I, by the grace of God, I was able to make a difference in the lives of some. I was able to make a difference in the world. I was able to make a difference for the kingdom. My life actually counted for something. So where is it wise to invest my time, to invest my life? Being Father's Day, it probably doesn't come as much of a surprise to you that I wanted to provide a brief illustration and reflection on my old man, my dad, who was such a foundational person in my own life, in my walk with God in particular. And I remember, again, probably at about Nathaniel's age, having a conversation with my dad about Psalm 90 verse 12, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And I remember sitting down with Dad and Dad saying, Craig, it is wise to invest your life into what lasts, not the temporary stuff, but what really lasts. He said, mate, there will be a lot of things that will be vying for your attention throughout life. Making lots and lots of money, that'll be vying for your attention because of the nature of our society. Fame, status, power, all these things will be craving your attention and drawing your time or tempting you to draw your time into those spaces. But he said, mate, as an older guy now, he said, let me give you some advice. Let me give you some truth. Those things are here one minute and they're gone the next. Okay, they are temporary in nature. He said to me, Craig, in life, there are only three things that last. Three things that last. And it wasn't just kind of Jeff Corkill words of wisdom. This was, I've studied this thing. I've immersed myself in the Word of God. And what the Bible says to me is that there are only three things that last. And what I want to do this morning is from the Scriptures, explore three things that last. That you, that I might invest our time well, and that in doing so, we might gain a heart of wisdom. What are the three things that actually last? Number one, God. God lasts. So be generous in your time, investing into your relationship with God. In verse 2 of Psalm 90, the passage that I just read earlier, it says there, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In other words, from eternity past all the way into eternity future, you are God. You do not change. In fact, when God introduces his personal name to Moses in the book of Exodus, do you remember what he says? He said, my name is I am who I am. In other words, there's this perpetual nature to God. There is this eternal nature to God. God lasts. And in fact, even more than that, he not only lasts, but he invites you as he invites me into a relationship with himself. It's not just God lasts and he's on some distant part of the universe doing his own thing. No. He says, I last, I am who I am, and I invite you into relationship with me. And then God does everything that is necessary to make that a possibility. I love that about God. I love that about him. God takes on flesh in the person of Jesus, and he lives a sinless life, and ultimately he dies on a cross and rises again 3 days later, because not even death could conquer Jesus. And there is so much that I could say to you this morning, and in fact I have in previous messages, so much I could say about what Jesus accomplished through his sinless life, through his death on the cross, and through his resurrection. But suffice it to say for this morning, the main reason God did that was that you could engage in relationship with him. The scriptures say in Romans, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still living in a state of rebellion against God, God takes on flesh and he dies on a cross and he pays that penalty for you and for me. And as a vindication of his death, the Spirit raises Jesus to eternal life and offers you eternal life as well. Life and life to the full in the here and now, and eternal life for the age to come. But here's the thing about this whole mystery of the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. He did it because he loves you. In fact, let me reframe that a little bit. God likes you. God likes you. And as I was preparing for this morning, I began to think, you know what? I imagine that there are people who are watching the live stream this morning or maybe going to tune in later in the week, and there have been a whole lot of people who have spoken some stuff into your life in days gone by. Words like, you know what? You'll probably never amount to much, or you're not smart enough, or you're not pretty enough, or you're not clever enough, you're not whatever enough. Maybe you've known rejection in family, and maybe Father's Day for you is particularly difficult because a lot of that rejection came through a person, your dad, who should have known better, who should have loved you and seen you for the beautiful and unique person that you were created. But for whatever reason, it was maybe because of what was spoken into their life that they just never did that. I want to say to you today, God loves you. God likes you. And in fact, when Jesus dies on a cross and rises again, he does that so that you can not just, have a casual relationship with God, and it's pretty cool. But God actually welcomes you into his own family. He says, you're a much loved child of mine now. You're an heir. You are more than a conqueror. I'm going to give you the opportunity to experience life and life to the full in the here and now, and you get to spend eternity with me, this one who loves you as you have never been loved before. God loves you, and it is wise to invest your time in growing your relationship with God, this one who loves you so much. It's wise to invest time there. So my question to you this morning is, how are you leveraging your limited time on this earth to grow a relationship with God? How are you leveraging your limited time on this earth to grow in your relationship with God? Maybe there's a more foundational question for you this morning. Maybe the more foundational question is, do you have a relationship with God? And if you don't have a relationship with God, then maybe today is the day when you receive his saving work, when you say, Jesus, you are King, and I receive what you have done on the cross for me. I receive your forgiveness. I receive the gift of being your child. I receive your love. I submit to your leadership in my life. I receive the gift of your Holy Spirit, who is your abiding presence with me. Maybe today's the best day to do that. Being Father's Day, you are responding to your Heavenly Father's love for you. What better day than Father's Day? He's a good father. And if you do already have a relationship with God, as I said, how are you leveraging your time to continue to posture yourself so that relationship is growing, not dwindling? How do you do that? Range of ways. Maybe start by talking to him. Carol and I, we've been married for almost 28 years now. One of the things we do is talk to one another. Now, you probably go, duh, you're husband and wife. That's not surprising. Yeah, it isn't surprising. Good relationship is built upon communication and mutually shared experiences. The same's true of your relationship with God. Try talking with him. And sometimes it can be a bit weird. Sometimes you go, oh, my brain gets distracted and that. So maybe write out prayers. But talk to him. Talk to him as you're going about your day. I'll often have conversations with God in the car, and they can be seemingly insignificant things. I look at for me, really, at the moment with spring, I love spring. I'm watching the Japanese maple out the front of our home bud in these incredible flowers, and it just like explodes over about a week or two with this new foliage. Or there's trees. You drive along Pacific Highway there up at Arimba, and there's all these liquid amber trees, and if you've noticed them, they're just starting to bloom now in all their foliage, and it's gorgeous. And in the autumn time, they go this brilliant reds and oranges, and as I'm driving along, I go, thank you, God, look at what you've created. This is amazing. This is beautiful. I know from Facebook that when there's beautiful sunsets here on the Central Coast, so many of you will post a photo. And what that does in my spirit, I go, look at the creativity of God. Like, God, you are amazing how you do that stuff. That's phenomenal. So talk to God. Include him in your day. Not only talk with God, walk with him. I love it in Genesis 1 and 2 there, in the creation account. It says that Adam and Eve knew the sound of God as he would walk in the garden in the cool of the evening. And I'm far more of a spring, summer guy than I am a winter guy. And one of the things that I like to do periodically is in the evening, in the cool of the evening, to go walking with God. To walk and to talk with him at the end of the day, to debrief the day. You can talk with God. You can walk with God. You can pause with God. I've said here multiple times over the last few months, one of the most helpful things for me in this COVID season has been that pause app of just throughout my day, pausing for 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, or 10 minutes, just to spend time with God. And it's been a life-giving practice for me. Or you can worship God. Talked about driving along, you know, around Arimba and seeing the liquid amber trees. But I know that for some of you, you do the same thing. We go along in the car, or maybe it's at home, and you put on some worship music, and it helps you to connect with God. I put together a playlist, Worship 2020 playlist on Spotify, and as I'm driving along, I hook my phone up to the car, and people probably look at me strangely, more than normal, but I'm belting out these songs as I go along my car, and it's great. It helps me to connect in my relationship with God. So that's the first thing that lasts. God lasts. So invest time in a relationship. The second thing actually relates to the first. The second thing that lasts is God's word. God's word. So be generous in investing time into reading, studying, reflecting on, memorizing, meditating on the Word of God. When the Apostle Peter is reflecting on the brevity of life and the Word of God, he says this in 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25. He says, all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the fields. Very much Psalm 90 language. And he says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. What lasts? God lasts. God's word lasts. So invest time getting to know what this thing says, what God's message of love is to you. Now, this is an area we talk a lot about here at Narara. In fact, we had workshops early this year, and some of the workshops were on reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God. How do you do that? And so actually this morning, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this one because we have covered it in so much depth in past weeks, months, and years. But if studying, understanding, reading, meditating, memorizing the Word of God, if that's something you go, you know what, I've heard Craig banging on about that for a while now, today's the day I want to do something about it. At the end of service today, my email address will be up there. You can contact me about that. Happy to help you out in whatever way I can. It is the most catalytic thing that you can do to develop and grow in your relationship with God, to invest time in the Word of God. So I commend that to you. Three things at last: God, God's word, and the third one is people. People. We are more than this mortal body. So be generous in investing your time into people. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has also set eternity in the human heart." There is this sacred, eternal part to who you are. Call it the soul, call it the spirit, I don't care what you call it, but we are more than this mortal body. I read the story a while ago of Mark Twain, and you've probably heard this story as well, that toward the end of the 1800s, I think it was, there were these rumors that were going around, these reports that Mark Twain had died. The reports came out of London. It was actually, in fact, Twain kind of clarified later on, it was actually his cousin who was sick. And you know how rumors go and the facts change? And the rumor moved from, hey, his cousin is sick, to, oh, Mark Twain's died. And of course, there's that now famous quote that rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated, which I love. Very Twain. But you know what? One day some of you will hear word of my death. And I want you to know that those reports will not be entirely true. You see, unless Jesus comes again beforehand, one day this mortal body will perish. But I am more than skin and flesh and bones. And so are you. Yes, there will probably be a little service and hopefully some people say some nice things. What do we say? Sometime around April 2045. Hopefully they'll say some nice things, although I know that if my kids get the mic, they're probably going to tell some very embarrassing stories about their dad. In fact, I was talking about this with Josh and Nathaniel as we were driving over to soccer yesterday, and Josh in particular was saying, oh, you bet we're going to be telling some funny stories, some embarrassing stories, basically just like I did at my dad's funeral, and that's fine, but you'll have to wait till then. But there is something eternal that resides within each person. You, I, we are made in the image of God. There is this eternal nature to who we are. In fact, you have never locked eyes with any person who is not made in the image of God, any person who does not have that eternal dimension to them. Every person is intrinsically valuable, for they carry the image of God. They carry this eternal aspect to who they are. That is in large part the reason why it is wise to invest time with people. Why it's wise not to become preoccupied with climbing the corporate ladder, with getting endlessly distracted on your mobile phone, with craving status and valuing that above all else. You see, those things don't ultimately provide meaning because they don't last. They don't last. In fact, before service this morning, we were having a great time here, I've got to say. We were hanging out, you know, the Wardlaws were here and the Lamb Rocks, and we were just laughing and laughing, carrying out. And there was something in my spirit that just goes, this is good. And to be really honest, the biggest thing that I'm missing right now in COVID is not being able to connect with people like that every single week. But boy, it was a treat this morning. We were having a whole lot of fun. As people that we've known each other for a long time, we've invested into one another's lives, and it was good. It was right. It was fun. It's what we were made for. In fact, early this week, I was doing some research, and I came across arguably the biggest, longest study into human development that's ever taken place. It's called the Harvard Study of Adult Development, and it was kicked off in 1938. And back in 38, they grabbed a whole lot of, I think they were sophomore students from Harvard University, and they said, we want to study how your life pans out until the day you die. One of them had to finish the study early because one of them was actually JFK, interestingly enough. But they grabbed a whole lot of these sophomores. Then a little while later, they said, oh, you know what? It might skew the data if all of these people are well-to-do people from Harvard, highly intelligent. We need to get some more regular people. And so they ended up going to Boston in a city and getting a very different demographic of people. But what they've done, they've studied these people over the course of their lives. And every single year, they're surveyed, they do medical tests, they're looking at their physical health, their mental health, their relationships, a whole lot of metrics that they've gathered on this group of people from 38 all the way through to today. And it's absolutely fascinating. And I was listening to a talk by Robert Waldinger, who is now the third director of this program, because, you know, you need different directors at different eras. And Waldinger is a professor, I think, of psychology at Harvard. A brilliant guy. And Waldinger says this. He says, when we gathered together everything we knew about this group at age 50, okay, so from 38 to, you know, add another 50 years, when they got to age 50, he said, it wasn't their middle-aged cholesterol levels that predicted how they were going to grow old. It was how satisfied they were in their relationships. The people who were the most satisfied in their relationship at age 50 were the healthiest at aged 80. Good relationships don't just protect our bodies, they protect our brains. And those good relationships, they don't have to be smooth all the time. Some of our octogenarian couples, I love this, some of our octogenarian couples could bicker with each other day in and day out, but as long as they felt they could really count on each other when the going got tough, those arguments didn't take a toll. Now here's the thing. People are different. Some people like a myriad of relationships, lots and lots of relationships, and that's what fuels them up and gives them that. Others, that circle of relationships is a lot smaller. For some, it's kind of just one, and that's okay. It's more about the deep assurance, even if there's arguments, even if there's disagreements, it's that deep assurance that they can count on the other person when the going gets tough. Their deep assurance that they are known and know, that they are loved and love, the relational value of investing into others. You see, guys, three things last according to the Bible. According to God's word, only three things last. That's God, God's word, and people. So my question to you this morning is, where are you going to invest your one and only life? The temptation, as was put to me when I was a young guy, probably in my late teens, by my dad, was that there are so many other things that are going to vie for your attention. In fact, I think there are more things vying for your attention now than when I was about 16, 17, 18 years of age, all those years ago. There are so many things that are vying for your attention that will distract you, that are lesser, that are not worthy of your one and only life. Only three things last: God, God's word, and people. So where are you going to invest your time? As you think about that this morning, there's a song that I've asked our our PA and AV team to share with us this morning. And it's a song that you may be familiar with. It speaks of God as a good, good Father. And you'll see a number of questions come up on the screen as that song is played. And I want to ask you to be, as you are listening to the song, I want you to talk to God about these three questions about where you will invest your one and only life. So let's watch that now. Man, he's a good, good father, isn't he? And I trust this morning, as we've considered God's word together, as we've taken some wisdom from that was shared with me many, many years ago, that maybe we might learn to number our days, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. I'd love to pray for you this morning. Father God, you are a good, good father. And we are amazed at all that you have done to enable us to come into relationship with yourself. We thank you for that. We know that it is all about your love and your grace rather than how clever or how good we are. We thank you that you have given us your word. Lord, that you have talked to us, you have told us about who you are and your desire for our lives and how we can live life and life to the full. We thank you for that. We thank you how your word points us to Jesus. And God, we thank you for people. And Lord, we say right now that we miss people. We miss not being able to gather together in ways that we normally have. But God, I pray that in this season in particular, you would reinforce to us how important relationships are. But Lord, how we might foster them better, how we might invest our lives into the lives of others, that they might be encouraged, that they might be built up as well. So God, we thank you for our time together this morning. I pray that right across the coast and around the world as people kind of view this thing, God, I pray that Jesus would be lifted up, that we'd be able to celebrate who you are, and that we'd enjoy a deep relationship with one another. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Thanks for joining us this morning.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.